Good morning, Bethany family, and happy Valentine's Day. Marguerite, what a wonderful version of His Eyes on the Sparrow. That was beautiful. Love that. Love that. That was really beautiful. It is such a privilege to come together as the family of God. Some of us are at home, some are maybe in the parking lot, and some are sitting here in the pew, something we haven't been able to do for a couple of weeks. It's a snowy, icy, frigid morning, but we are glad to be here in the house of God with those that we love. Today is traditionally a day to celebrate love. Love for significant others, love for a family member, love for a friend. We know there is no more perfect example of love than what we read in God's Word, particularly John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It has been said that true love for another person is like a warm fire that burns in your heart. Well, let's pray that our love for our Heavenly Father and his son Jesus will burn brightly in our hearts. May that love burn so brightly that it illuminates every darkness and draws others to him. May we all be a soul on fire. Please stand if you can as we sing Soul on Fire.
God,
I'm running for your heart.
I'm running for your heart till I am a soul on fire.
Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire.
God,
I'm running for your heart.
I'm running for your heart,
till I am a soul on fire.
Lord,
I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire, till I am a soul on fire.
Lord, restore the joy I had when I have wandered. Bring me back in this darkness. See me through until all I see is you. Yeah, God,
I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire till I am a soul on fire. Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to Lord, let me burn for you again. Let me return to you again. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart till I am a soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire. Till I am a soul on fire.
That's wonderful. You can be seated. In 1 John 3:1, we read, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are." Let me read that again. "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And that is what we are!" Exclamation point. You and I are children of God, sons, daughters, heirs, brothers and sisters, members of the family of God. That is what we are, and we are who He says we are. And the reality of that changes everything, because in God's family, every day is Valentine's Day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you because your love for us overflows each and every day. It is not based on what we do or say, but it is freely given in your great mercy. And in the midst of our fears and failures, our worries, our struggles, and our disappointments, your unconditional and steadfast love is without limit. You have said that we are your children. You, God, have chosen us. And in that knowledge, we find hope, safety, a place of refuge, and a lap of compassion and grace. Help us to grasp the promise that we are a part of your family. We are your child, that we are who you say we are, and nothing else matters. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. I am who you say I am.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me, who the Son sets free. Oh, it's free. Grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me, who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, he's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen. Well, first of all, we're happy to have Pastor Susan back with us today, and we're happy to see all of you here and all those at home. Right now, we'd like to take a moment for you to stand and give a wave or a wink. If you're at home and you have your phone, send somebody a text in your church family and say hello. Time for waves and winks.
It is good to be here with you this morning for several reasons. Mike and I have been in quarantine for the last week, but we got negative COVID tests, so that feels really good. And I'm going to run out to the store and buy half and half because we had just run out. Well, for a children's message today, I was remembering a game that we used to play. We used to play a version of it called Chutes and Ladders. You might be familiar with that. I saw that some people play Snakes and Ladders, where you go around the board, you roll the dice, and maybe you land on a square where there's a ladder and you get to go up the ladder. Or if you land on a snake, you slide down the snake, you have to go back. And, and it seems like, they have online versions of the game. So I was playing it, and it was like, I'd get ahead, and I'd say, oh, man, I'm winning. And then I'd land on a snake, and I'd go all the way back. And it made me think about our scripture today, because our scripture from Mark is about how Jesus goes up on the mountain with Peter and James and John. And while they're there, they see Jesus transformed. Like, he's just, his clothes are so white, they're glowing, and he's there, he's talking to Moses and Elijah, and Peter's like, ooh, we should just, we see Jesus as somebody really special, we should just stay up here on top of the mountain and not go back down. But that's not how it works, right? Because Jesus has a mission. He needs to go back down the mountain and feed people who are hungry and heal people who are sick and care for those who are in need. So they can't stay up there. And I think life is kind of like that too, where, sometimes we feel like we're on top of the world or at the top of the ladder, and sometimes we feel like we're sliding down to the bottom. But whether we're at the top of the ladder or on the tail of the snake, Jesus Christ is with us wherever we are. And that's the thing that was really revealed to James and John and Peter when they went up the mountain, was that they understood that Jesus was someone incredibly special, someone who was going to change their lives. So let us pray. Gracious God, sometimes we feel like we're sliding backwards, and sometimes we feel like we're on top of the world, but we give you thanks that Jesus Christ is with us no matter where we find ourselves. Continue to help us to love one another as he loved us. Amen.
There's one day of the year when love is celebrated in abundance. Big red hearts passed to all of our friends, bags of the best chocolate consumed by the pound, cards, candy, nice meals, surprise gifts. It's lavish and lovely and reminds us of all the good things. But what does love look like when it spills to every other day of the year? Maybe it's food banks always stocked, hard conversations over hot cups of coffee, holding the hand of a stranger, sticking it out through hard times, sitting in grief that's not even yours, delivering hope through a simple card, laughter and goodwill, provision, protection, patience, forgiveness before it's asked, walking a mile in another's shoes. We know this kind of love because we saw it. Love is the Son willing to hang on the cross, the God willing to die in our place, the Father who had a plan to save his children from the moment he created us. We were always on his heart, and still are, every day of the year.
Good morning.
Our scripture today comes from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9, and it is to be read responsively. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became a dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to him Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, as we consider your words this morning, Lord, be with us wherever we find ourselves. Be with us in the midst of our busyness or our solitude. Be with us in the meditations of our hearts, so we might see where you are guiding us today. Amen. Well, a number of years ago, I was assigned to be a mentor to a younger pastor, and we would meet once a month or so at Cracker Barrel and have breakfast and talk about how his ministry was going, talk about faith, talk about theology. And one morning, he said to me that his congregation had come to him and told him that they wanted to attract more young people to the church. And so, as it happened, Jim was going to lead the district youth retreat. So he came up with a survey, and he passed it out to the youth before they disbanded after their youth weekend. And he found that they were really excited about filling out the survey. They wanted to tell people what it was they liked about the churches that they attended. And so, you know, that was the easy part, handing out the survey and getting the answers back. The hard part was then going back and telling his congregation what it was that these young people liked about their churches. They liked, well, praise music and contemporary Christian music, the kind that might be played on guitars, which at that point had not been played in their worship services. The kids liked sermons that connected to their everyday lives, and they wanted to participate in worship and be a part of it. The question was, did this young pastor's church want to be like that and do the kinds of things that these young people appreciated? And sadly, the answer was no, they did not. They wanted to do things as they had always done them. And it reminds me of a story that Reverend Christopher Thomas tells. He's the pastor at a church in Wilson, North Carolina. And he talked about how his grandmother, before she passed away, she had this fall and she broke her hip. And what happened was that she got up in the middle of the night and she started to head to the kitchen to make a cup of instant coffee. And this was something she had done hundreds of times before. But this particular time, when she went out into the hallway, a bright light flashed on. Apparently, her son had installed a motion detector light in the hallway. And so she was so startled by this light that she lost her balance, and she fell in the hallway, and she broke her hip. So she had to have hip surgery. And then she had to have rehab, so she was in a facility to do her rehab. And she had always told her family that if they ever put her in a nursing home, she was going to kill them. And while she technically wasn't in a nursing home, she was in that same building in the rehab facility. And so every time she saw her grandson or her sons coming down the hall, she would start calling them names. I don't know exactly what those names were, but Reverend Thomas said he couldn't repeat them as a Baptist pastor. So she was not happy. But her son, the same one who installed the lights with the motion detector, he thought he would be helpful by, rearranging the furniture. And so he pushed the kitchen table up against the wall, and he reorganized the bathroom, and he made it so that from her bed to the bedroom door, there was a clear path. And generally, he rearranged things. He rearranged the furniture in the living room. And so while he had the best of intentions, the result wasn't quite what he was hoping for. When his mother got home, she looked around, and she was confused by what she saw. She would look around the house, and she'd say, "I want to go home." Because her home was not what it had been. There were corners of the room she had not seen in decades. And suddenly there they were. There were parts of the carpet that had been covered up for years, and now they were uncovered, and they were a different color. They were a lot more vivid than the rest of the carpet. There were places on the wall that were a different color because there had been pictures hanging there for years. And now there were these dark patches. She was seeing things that she hadn't seen in her house for decades. And so all these things that had been covered up and were now revealed confused her. And so she was feeling like she wasn't even in her own house anymore. Well, this last Sunday before Lent is Transfiguration Sunday. So, we have this traditional scripture of Jesus going up the mountain with Peter and James and John. They go up to the mountaintop. And we know what mountaintop moments are, right? You know, you go up to the mountaintop and you see everything laid out around you. You know, you get the big picture. You have the scales fall from your eyes. You understand. And so here they are. They go up to the mountain and they have this aha moment. Peter and James and John, they get up there and they see Jesus not as the carpenter from Galilee, but they see him revealed as the Messiah, the Son of God, someone who is glowing, and he's talking to Moses and Elijah. And Moses and Elijah, they're like, you know, they're the superstars of the prophets. So they know something amazing is happening. And Peter starts to babble, and he probably doesn't know what he's saying, but he's like, "Yeah, we should just stay up here, and everyone can come up here, and we can charge admission." And then there's this voice, God saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him. Listen to him." And with the benefit of hindsight, we understand that Jesus can't stay on the mountaintop with Peter and James and John. They have to go back down. That's where the mission and the ministry is, not on the mountaintop, but down below. They need to go back down. And as I think about that, you know, we've kind of had this pandemic experience where, like Reverend Thomas's grandmother, the furniture has been rearranged in our lives. We have gone down into the valley, and nothing looks like it did a year ago. It's disconcerting. The furniture has been rearranged. And if we thought maybe we were going to get into a rut, or we had been in sort of a faith rut doing things the same way, all of a sudden, we're not there anymore. And ruts can be comfortable. Valleys, not so much. Well, as we have been in this place, I'm reminded that God is with us even in the valleys. You probably remember Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. And I think of the life of Mother Teresa. After she passed away in 1997, I was a little startled when I read that much of her faith journey, she felt darkness and suffering around her, that she didn't always feel like God was present in her life. And I guess I thought, well, she was a saint, right? Wouldn't she have felt like God was right there with her the whole time? But as people read through her papers and her diaries and talked to her spiritual advisors, that really wasn't the case. She struggled with her, maybe not with her belief in God, but struggled to feel the presence of God. Well, when she was 18, she traveled to Ireland and became a nun, one of the Sisters of Loretto, and with in mind that she would be a missionary. And so from there, she went to India. By the 1940s, she was a principal in a school in Calcutta. And while she was there, she contracted tuberculosis. And from Calcutta, they sent her to Darjeeling so she could recover from tuberculosis. And while she was on the train going to Darjeeling, she felt what she called the call within the call. She says, I was to leave the convent and work with the poor, living among them. It was an order. I knew where I belonged. She felt God speak to her and give her this very direct command that she was to go to the poor and live among them. God showed her in that moment, in this intimate moment of communication, something that we might even call a mountaintop moment, what her ministry was. And she carried it out in an amazing way. She went to the poorest of the poor, to the sick and the abandoned, those who were, well, living in the shadows and dark corners of life. And she lived with them, and she brought them into the light. She started ministries all over the world. But she just had that one mountaintop moment. It was brief, but it fueled her whole ministry, something she carried out for more than 50 years. As I think about Transfiguration Sunday, I'm reminded of what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. In other words, when we seek to proclaim the gospel, to unveil the truth of God in Christ, well, we don't do it in a way that puts ourselves first. When we seek to let light shine out of darkness, we are not the light. We are the ones who hold up the light, who shine the light for others. And we need to recognize that the power of the gospel as preached by Jesus Christ rearranges the furniture and exposes the worn out rugs of our faith. The gospel good news demands more from us than just a pious attitude or bumper stickers with uplifting slogans on them. The lived gospel demands that our actions are undeniably driven by our faith in Christ and our willingness to follow and do as he did. Christ goes up to the mountaintop. He takes disciples with him, but nobody gets to stay there. In our scripture, Peter, James, and John are not the light. We are not the light. Well, we can be bearers of the light. We have traveled in darkness, but the light has been with us. We may feel like nothing is the same as it once was. School, work, church, and the ordinary everyday routine of life. It's all changed. It's unsettling, but we know who Jesus Christ is. We know the kind of life he led, and that alone should urge us forward, even when we feel like we're in the dark valleys. Let us be inspired to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, as we travel over and through life's hills and valleys and mountaintops. Amen. Well, I am thankful for everyone who kept things going while I was working on my parents' estate. I appreciate that time so much and appreciate that all everyone has done and given to the church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you give us and all that we have that comes from you and your creation. I thank you for generous hearts that have given of themselves and of what they possess. Lord, bless this offering and help us to continue to bear the light of Christ into the world. Amen. Well, I know I've forgotten that there is a new prayer number, I think, and I have not checked it. And I know that when I don't check it, that's exactly when we'll have a prayer concern. But I do want to lift up a couple of things. Ken Shiflett has contracted COVID, so please be in prayer for him and for Elva as well. I was going to lift up Gary Ruhlman, who is here, which is awesome. So I guess that's a joy. Definite praise. So was in the hospital and is here now, and good to see you. And I have a joy. I have a new grandniece. She was born on Wednesday, Emmeline Margaret Reeves. And I don't know how much she weighs because her grandfather is not into those kind of details. But I'm going to find out because those Reeves babies are big babies. And I'm going to track that information down. Do we have other joys or concerns this morning? Let us go to God again in prayer. Oh, Lord, there are times when we are anxious, times when we worry. Have mercy on us. Grant us the strength to overcome our fears and the courage to bear whatever comes our way without being defeated by it. Give us courage, Lord, to show up in life despite whatever anxieties or fears we might have. Give us courage to love despite having been hurt. Courage to feel lonely and know that loneliness will not destroy us. Give us courage to trust that we have all that we need, that you have provided all that is necessary. Free us to live in the joy and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, as our thoughts turn to love, as we remember St. Valentine, help us to love one another, even when it's hard, and especially when it's hard. Lord, we thank you for new life and renewed life. We thank you that your abundant life triumphs over death. But we pray for those who mourn. Lord, we pray with those who have faced illness, and we ask that you bring healing upon them. Continue to knit us together into the body of Christ. Keep us in love with you. Keep our eyes on your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So, a couple of announcements. I just want to remind folks that Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. Lent will be beginning, and we are doing the drive-in imposition of ashes Wednesday at from 12 to 1. and 5:30 to 6:30. So it's a drive-through thing, and we are supporting the Green Hanger Project and the Food Pantry Diaper Drive. So if you like, you can make a donation to one of those ministries. And I think I have... Oh, and thank you for everyone who has who sent cards to Mike. We appreciate that. And thank you for everyone who made it possible for me to go away. Any other announcements? All right. Let us stand as we're able as we sing I Come With Joy. Okay, that's right. More love to thee, O Christ. Thank you. As you prepare to go, may you be filled with the love of Christ, and may you go forth to shine it out into the world. Amen.